Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another thought-provoking show for you this morning. The release of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl by the Taliban has unleashed a fury of personal, very personal and hateful attacks on the soldier and his family by Republicans and their rabidly hateful cohorts at Fox News and other right-wing media outlets. These shameful attacks are an attempt to obscure the real reason why these vicious attacks on Bergdahl is happening in the first place: political expediency and their unmitigated hatred of President Obama. We're going to delve deep into this issue here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
It is profoundly clear to me that right-wing conservative Republicans are completely and without any ambiguity some of the most hateful and despicable people in our country. These people have no shame. These folks have no sense of decency, no moral compass. And for me, without question, these folks are the most bigoted, the most xenophobic, the most homophobic, the most Islamic phobic. And because they proudly embrace being labeled racist, the most rabidly racist people to draw breath. I'm not going to equivocate from that position. Not only as a group, their hypocrisy is stunning. They have degenerated to a form of humanity that is anti-God, anti-God, anti-Christ. And I want to be absolutely clear about this, because many of these folks claim to be Christian. Their behavior, my friends, are anti-Christian. Anti-Christian. I said it. There is absolutely nothing Christian about anything these people do or espouse. What we've seen over the course of a week is nothing short of amazing. Conservative Republicans are losing their minds over this Bergdahl-Taliban exchange. And if you hear some of the rhetoric coming from places like Fox News and other right-wing media outlets, these people are steeped in irrationality and conspiracy, because all of this really is about ginning up their base, riling them up. And I want to be clear, too. I don't care how articulate they sound. I don't care how well they speak. I don't care about their mannerisms. It doesn't matter to me, because what we have seen is nothing more than hatred. And it doesn't matter if they have a multi-billion dollar media empire behind them or the credentials they flaunt as an air of credibility. Because beneath the credentials, beneath the suits, and beneath the tie, and beneath the dress, beneath the makeup and the television lights, there is a seething and sinister hatred that, but for being propped up in front of a television camera, would otherwise be relegated to the fringes of our society. The Sean Hannitys of the world, the Rush Limbaughs, the way they have gone after and castigated a prisoner of war is despicable. The way they've demonized Sergeant Bo Bergdahl and his father, to me, demonstrates that there is no low that these folks aren't willing to reach. It's reprehensible, folks. And the shame of it all, the shame of all of this, is that these folks have no shame, unmitigated bigotry and hatred. No shame, none. Now, U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl was captured by the Taliban 5 years ago when he left or abandoned his post in Afghanistan. Some reports suggest, but it has not been confirmed by anyone, and I want to repeat that, it has not been confirmed by anyone that he went AWOL. And from what I understand, that this is probably, it was probably his third excursion from his post. And each time he had returned back. This time, of course, he was captured. So at best, all we have are some reports that he grew exhausted with the war and began to question our military presence in Afghanistan. That doesn't, in my mind, it's not evident or evidence that he is guilty of AWOL or that he is a deserter. There are dubious, unsubstantiated, and I dare say fallacious allegations that he was either attempting to join or sympathize with the Taliban and perhaps may have even fired on U.S. forces. Dubious, I want to repeat that. Now, given the outlets in which these reports are surfacing, Fox and other right-wing media outlets, I question the veracity of those reports. And I know CNN and some other outlets have been reporting the same information, but nothing has been proven because the man hasn't even spoken. And given the despicable attempts to eviscerate Sergeant Bergdahl in right-wing media outlets and the visceral reaction to his release, I suspect that, as is always the case with Fox, facts be damned and the truth be obscured. I want you to listen. If it turns out that Bergdahl went AWOL or was indeed in search of Taliban forces to join their cause, let the determination be made in military court, not in the media, especially by media outlets bent on demonizing President Obama every single chance they get. Because ultimately, that's what this is about. When Bergdahl left his post and was captured by the Taliban, our military began an exhaustive search for him. In the process, it is said that upward of 8 soldiers were killed in search of Bergdahl. But as the New York Times reported, evidence that soldiers were killed specifically as a result of the search for Bo Bergdahl is not clear cut, as some folks are suggesting. Read a very interesting piece from the New York Times, and let me quote, "Facts are often obscured in the fog of the battlefield. Witnesses have incomplete vantage points, and in the events in our 5 years in the past now, but an archive of military reports logging significant activities in America's war in Afghanistan offers a contemporaneous written record of events in Pakata that summer. The archive was made public by Chelsea Manning, formerly known as Private Bradley Manning, who is serving a 35-year prison sentence for the leak. The first two deaths," the article points out, "the critics link to Sergeant Bergdahl involved a major assault by insurgents on a combat outpost called Zarek on July 4th, 2009. Their view is that the Taliban knew the Americans were stretched thin by the search mission and took advantage of the opportunity to try to overrun it." The soldier who wrote the essay in the Daily Beast said the company executive officer
for the unit at Zurich believed that the attack would not have happened had his company received its normal complement of intelligence aircraft, drones, planes, and the like. Instead, every intelligence aircraft available in theater had received new instructions. Find Bergdahl. My friend blames Bergdahl for his soldiers' deaths. Military officials speaking in recent days have countered that additional surveillance aircraft had been brought in from other areas to help in the search. So air traffic in the region was intensified, not diminished, by the search. The other six deaths in Pakatar that summer occurred from August 18th to September 5th, with Sergeant Bergdahl's critics linked to him as well. Mr. Bever wrote that of the six men killed in August and September, two died in a roadside bombing while on a reconnaissance mission, a third was shot during a search for a Taliban political leader, and three others were killed while conducting patrols, two in an ambush and one who stepped on a mine. He suggested that some connection to Sergeant Bergdahl for several of the deaths, saying the Taliban leader and a village that was in the area of one of the patrols were, quote, thought affiliated with Bergdahl's captors, end quote. He also said a village in the areas of the other patrol was near, quote, near the area where Bergdahl vanished, end quote. Still, those villages and insurgents were in the overall area of responsibility for the soldiers, and the logs made clear that the region was an insurgent hotbed. A log on May 21st, 2009, for example, said it had historically been a safe haven for the Taliban. The soldier who spoke on condition of anonymity agreed that it was ludicrous to lay 100% of the blame for the deaths of Sergeant Bergdahl's feet, and he acknowledged that patrols were going to get hit in Pakatar during fighting season anyway. End quote. Now look, I read this for a reason. The deaths of those soldiers were tragic, no question about it. And if we had an opportunity to eliminate all the possibilities of potential death for soldiers, we would, obviously. We're in a theater of war. But the deaths of those soldiers cannot be placed squarely on the search for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. We are and were at war. And as the soldiers indicated, those attacks were in a hotbed of the Taliban. Their presence were everywhere. The violence obviously was escalating. They were going to be attacked regardless. And what I find distasteful and reprehensible is an attack on a man who has yet to utter a word in his own defense. For all the talk these hypocrites spew about democracy and due process and patriotism, they've abandoned those principles simply because of political expediency and a chance to castigate our president. That's what this is about. They've stooped so low that going after Bergdahl's father has become sport. Take a listen to this.
All right, so exactly what message was he trying to send here with reaction from Act for America, Brigitte Gabriel, and from the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, Zuhdi Jasser is with us. Brigitte, somebody I know you know well, Waleed Shabbat, he actually wrote a piece. He said what that father was saying in the Rose Garden. Now, by the way, you might argue in 2011 he's doing and acting any way he has to try and get the release of his son. I would buy that. But what he said on Sunday and what he said in the Rose Garden, Waleed is suggesting that he was declaring the Muslim victory call, and then the president smiles when he does it, as soon as he hears, he calls it the war cry of Allah. Is that what that is when he said that?
The man shows up at the White House looking like a Muslim. He speaks Pashto. He thanks Allah. It's inappropriate. Okay, is he over the edge because of his boy? Maybe. And I feel bad for him if that's the case. But what he did and how he presented himself was inappropriate. And I said it. I didn't say it with any rancor. I said it in the context of, I wish he hadn't done it. But I'll tell you this, Kurtz, and you're gonna remember these words. This father and this son, they were sympathetic to the Taliban.
These people are disgusting to me. These people are disgraceful. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, the entire right-wing media apparatus. These folks are the worst kinds of human beings. And we can have a legitimate debate on the merits of releasing 5 Taliban soldiers in exchange for Bergdahl. But aren't our values at stake here? Bill O'Reilly showing up to the White House looking like a Muslim? Since when it is a crime to look like a Muslim? Since when is it a crime to appear before cameras or be on the lawn of the White House looking like a Muslim? Since when is that a crime? For Bill O'Reilly and others who support and watch his program, it's not inappropriate to dress, look like a Muslim, or speak Pashto in this country, especially at the White House. There are millions of Muslims in this country who are law-abiding, loyal American citizens. They have a right to be respected and not denigrated by Bill O'Reilly or any of his bigoted friends. This is despicable to me. Are we not a nation that exhausts every avenue to bring soldiers home and to his family? What is this? Are we not a nation of laws that say you are innocent until proven guilty? Especially with if you haven't even had an opportunity to defend himself? Come on! The whole lot of them at Fox are foul and vile human beings. They crystallize what it means to be vile and detestable. Calm down a little bit. Sorry. This all stems from their utter contempt and hatred of President Obama. And if they say otherwise, they're lying to you. This is not simply about Bergdahl. In the larger sense, this is about their absolute disdain for the president. Because some of the same loud voices who are now criticizing President Obama are the same hypocrites who only a few weeks and a few months ago were calling on the Obama administration to do more for Bergdahl. And interestingly, the scenario that played out in the release of Sergeant Bergdahl is the same scenario that was strongly considered and being hammered out in 2011. The same thing, same scenario. So what are you saying, Ron Holland? I'm telling you that the same 5 Taliban that were released in the exchange for Bergdahl's freedom are the same men that were part of the discussions upward of 3 years ago. And that's the truth. And what stirs my ire, what rouses my contempt, what galls me is the absolute hypocrisy of John McCain and Kelly Ayotte and all those political hacks who were not only urging our government to do more to get Bergdahl free, but knew of the potential terms by which this freedom could be obtained. They all knew this stuff. John McCain was on CNN a few months ago supporting the exchange that was ultimately used to get Bergdahl free from the Taliban. These people are despicable. This is all about their hatred of President Obama. Bottom line, the very thing that these people supported is what the very thing that President Obama ultimately end up doing. But because of their seething hatred of the president, because of their blinding disdain, their bigotry and outright contempt for President Obama, they'd rather be mired in their own hypocrisy than to congratulate him for bringing a prisoner of war back to our country and to his family. Take a listen to President Obama.
It was important for people to understand that this is not some abstraction. This is not a political football. You have a couple of parents whose kid volunteered to fight in a distant land. who they hadn't seen in 5 years and weren't sure whether they'd ever see again. And as Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces, I am responsible for those kids. And I get letters from parents who say, if you are in fact sending my child into war, make sure that that child is being taken care of. And I write too many letters to folks who unfortunately don't see their children again after fighting a war. I make absolutely no apologies for making sure that we get back a young man to his parents, and that the American people understand that this is somebody's child, and that we don't condition whether or not we make the effort to try to get them back.
Look, I'm not going to equivocate from my position. It was right, and I applaud the president for finding a way to bring Bergdahl home. Sergeant Bergdahl deserves to be heard and ultimately owes our country an explanation about the events leading up to his abandoning his post. The attacks on Bergdahl's father, folks, by Hannity and O'Reilly and the other right-wing media outlets, to me is absolutely reprehensible. And because many of these same idiots pretend to be Christian, I'm going to say this clearly. None of them represent Christ or reflect the love of God. Absolutely none of them. And I'm saying this as a Christian. For all of you, no information folks that hang on every word spewed by the likes of Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly, and are calling on the impeachment of President Obama because of the release of these Taliban soldiers, I remind you that, I mean, if you're going to take things into context, I remind you of Bush releasing upward, I think the last figures I heard, 500 of the same kinds of people from Guantanamo Bay. And I want you to consider what you would do if your own child is being held captive in a foreign land. There are movies that make me shiver. The possibility of my child being kidnapped, taken hostage, or whatever the scenario, in a foreign land, and you are helpless, not knowing what to do. The question for you to ask yourself, as you look down at your children, what would you do if your child was snatched? Never mind the idea that this man may have walked off his post and deserted. Never mind all that. I'm asking to strongly consider, walk into your son or your daughter's bedroom this very moment. Open the door, look down at them as they're sleeping in their bed. What would you do if your child was snatched, taken to a foreign land, and you had the wherewithal to be able to reach, talk, or secure their release? What the hell would you do? How would you feel if an entire multi-billion-dollar media apparatus suggests that this country abandon your hopes of getting your child back? What would you do? How about living every minute of your life for 5 years, not having any recourse, the resources, or the ability to rescue your child? How would you feel if you're honest with yourself and your own children? What would you do to vilify and excoriate Bob Bergdahl for growing a beard for the length of time his son was in captivity, to malign and disparage his efforts to learn the Pashto language to communicate with his son's captors and his son in an effort to make sure that his son isn't killed? To vilify that effort is a disgrace. It's a cheap way to get ratings, to score political points. And this Islamophobia, it's an outrage. It smacks of bigotry. And it is a prime example of the hatred that is so pervasive in right-wing media outlets, the Republican base. It is pervasive. So what that Bob Bergdahl speaks Pashto? So what if he showed up to the White House with a long beard, looking like a Muslim? So what if he grew his beard and appears in their eyes to look like a Muslim? And as John Stewart studiously and brilliantly pointed out, if the standard is appearing Muslim, is a long, wily beard, those guys from Duck Dynasty and the heroes of scripture would fit well into that profile. I'm about to close out, but I do want to say that this really, folks, is an example of a racial prejudice that is wholly acceptable to Fox News, their viewers, their contributors, the Republican base, folks who are rabidly proud to be bigots. If Sergeant Bo Bergdahl abandoned his post and was a deserter, we have an opportunity at this point to hear exactly what happened, to eviscerate this man in the media without giving him an opportunity to explain himself is way beyond the pale. To vilify this man's father as a Muslim sympathizer is way beyond the pale. And I will suggest to all of you that as you consider how you would react if your child was taken. And see, I know folks are not honest over at Fox News. They would have some phony response to that question, but they wouldn't answer it honestly. But you do have a spirit about you, those of you who are listening, and you would honestly answer that question. For me, I would grow a beard and I would speak, as I heard one commentator suggest over on another channel, I would learn 20 different languages if it meant that I can communicate with my son and communicate to his captors that I want my child returned home safely. Now, whether or not this was an appropriate exchange, releasing five very dangerous men who would have been released in a year anyway, if I was in the position to make that call, to make sure that a soldier who donned America's uniform, now again, whether or not he is guilty of desertion, I don't know, but the reality is he donned our nation's uniform and went to fight for our country. And if he is guilty of being a deserter, then he should pay the penalty for that. But bring the man home and let him explain himself, because at the end of the day, folks, we are a nation that is supposed to embrace due process, and he at the very least deserves that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Like millions of rational and truly patriotic Americans, I celebrate the notion and tradition of not leaving a soldier behind. I'm glad Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has been freed and will once again be on our shores. If he's guilty of desertion, let it be determined by our military. Let's not vilify him or his family until due process is afforded. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.